Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our scripture today comes from Nehemiah 4, verses 1 through to 14. And it says, "Now when Sanballat heard they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubble and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, will he break down their stone wall? Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt. Do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem were going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah, it was said, "The strength of those who bear the burdens is falling. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall." And our enemies said, "They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work." At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, "You must return to us." So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes."
Thank you, Steph. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for bringing each and every one of us here this evening, Lord God. Father, I pray for your word, that your word will go forward and complete what it is purposed for it tonight, Lord God. Father, may our eyes and our hearts be set on you, Father. We welcome your Holy Spirit in this place, and we pray, Father God, that you would have your way, Lord God, that you are an awesome great God and you fight on our behalf, as we have heard, Lord God. And so, Father, this evening, we pray and thank you for everyone gathered here and for those that are joining us online. In Jesus' name, amen. Say hi to someone before you take a seat. Say hi. Yes. So good. Welcome to those that are joining us online. So good to be here. So good to be home. Yes. Wow. So we're going through our series of We love this city. And so over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at some big questions, right, in relation to the story of Nehemiah. So we're going through the book of Nehemiah. And some big questions that we've been looking at is, why are we building? Where are we building? What are we building? And so today I'm going to be looking at a big question too, and it's how we are going to build. And so the title of my message today is How We Build. Everyone say, how we build. Okay, so Nehemiah 4, thank you, Steph, read so beautifully there, starts off with these guys, Tobiah and Sanballat. They're mocking the work that the Jews were doing, right? What are you doing? What are you feeble Jews doing? You're using rubbish to build up rubbish. Your wall has been broken down once before. It's going to be broken down again. This is what Nehemiah and those that were building the wall had to put up with. Hearing these men mocking and jeering at them, making fun of them. Sanballat and Tobiah legally had no authority to stop the work or to even stop these guys. But that didn't stop them from criticizing, mocking, throwing verbal abuse at these guys. Remember, Nehemiah had the letters from the king, right? In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7, that he was there on a mission. He had the authority of the king to be there. And so all Sanballat and Tobiah could do was just throw these words at them to discourage them from building. Now listen to these words. You're not really changed. You're still the same. You think your God is better than us? You think you know more than us? You are going to fail. It's just a phase you're going through. It's not real. You're wasting your time. These can be the same attacks that can come into the mind and life of any follower of Jesus Christ as well, who legally is set free by his King, King Jesus. Yet we can be easily discouraged and into drawing back or moving away from what God has set before us, because we can begin to believe the words of the enemy over the words of God that he's already spoken. This sounds like a familiar pattern, right? And it is, because we see the similar pattern in the Garden of Eden, right? The serpent says to the woman in Genesis 3, did God really say that? Did God say that you couldn't eat from any tree? This brought doubt into the mind of the woman, into what she already knew, and she believed the words of the serpent, and sin entered the world in the fall of man. I like how David Guzik puts it, and he says this: we work differently under faith or under discouragement. We pray differently when under faith or under discouragement. We read and hear the word differently when under faith or under discouragement. It is no wonder that Satan works so hard to keep us from faith and keeps us in discouragement. That's all the enemy wants to do. That's all the enemy can do, is to throw words of discouragement at us. He's baiting us, right? He's just baiting us to see if we'll take it, to see if it will hopefully paralyze us and stop us from moving forward into what God has planned. But when we have our security in God and what he says, those words from the enemy, they lose their power. They become powerless. They become meaningless, because when we know who sent us, when we know whose authority that we come in, when we know who our King is, that is the security that we get to take and experience, knowing that King Jesus has given us that authority. So what we'll be looking at today is describing how we as a church can build our community, in turn, that honors God and loves people. But I want to approach this from a different angle today, from an angle of where building should actually begin. And that is, building begins with relationship. Building begins with relationship. And there may be some of us that are sitting in here tonight and are thinking, yeah, relationships, oh, I don't know. We just need a strategy. We need a step-by-step process, gather everyone together, preach the gospel, and everyone will be saved. Yes, that's one way. But I want us to approach this building of our community through the lens of building relationally. Is that okay? Through building relationships. Think about a particular setting, whether it's your family, your workplace, maybe a sports team, the classroom, your school, your community. In any of these settings, in order for growth and development and strengthening to happen, there needs to be a healthy environment for relationships to be forged and formed. One of my favorite movies is Remember the Titans, okay? Yes, a movie from back in 2000. A lot of you weren't even born back then. Remember the Titans. And it's about an American high school football team. It's set in 1971. And the local school board is forced to integrate these two schools. And so they have an all-colored school and an all-white school. And they got to combine them. And so each of these schools, they have their own football programs. They have their own gridiron programs. And so they got to bring them together. And so you know there's going to be some tension there, right? You know there's going to be some issues bringing colored boys together with white boys. And that's how relationships can start out. You have some on this side. You have some on that side, right? There's no coming together yet. There's no unity there yet. But the fact that you're in the same room means that the process of engaging with each other can begin. And this is where I want us to begin. Seeing how God wants us to build our community through relational discipleship. And the foundational relationship is our own personal relationship with Christ. The foundational relationship to build our community begins in our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so how does God build community in our hearts? I'm glad you asked. He does it through this. God builds community through relational prayer. Everyone say relational prayer. So relational prayer is having an active relational prayer life. Yes, we can pray individually. We can pray as husbands and wives. We can pray within our families, with our kids. We can pray as a life group. We can pray as a church. Those are great avenues to be praying in. But I want to ask us this question. Do we only pray when things are not going well? Do we only pray when stuff is happening that we don't understand, that we need the help of God, and then all of a sudden we're starting to pray? Whether we're going through a tough situation, financial, relational, emotional, spiritual, physical, and then all of a sudden we start praying. In an active relational prayer life, these people understand that there needs to be a shift in their life focus towards Christ and away from themselves. John the Baptist, he understood this about Jesus. So when John's disciples, they come to him asking, "Hey, John, why is Jesus over there? And like everyone's going to him and he's baptizing everyone and no one's coming to you anymore. What's happening? Why is no one coming to you, John?" And John's response reveals his deep relational prayer life. In John 3:30, it says this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." The NLT version says this, "He must become greater and greater. I must become less and less." John's active relational prayer life revealed this to him. He wasn't about trying to build his platform. He wasn't trying to build a social following or anything like that. He wasn't trying to build his reputation. He was building people, pointing people towards Christ. Nehemiah displays this active relational prayer life for us as well. When he hears the news of the walls of Jerusalem laying in ruin while the temple was being rebuilt, his first point of contact was not to his best friend or to his wife, but to his knees. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 says this, "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." This was Nehemiah's response to this news that he had heard. How many of us would respond to that if we were to hear something like that? Nehemiah was in a place where he knew the heart of God, and he knew that God's plan was for him to rebuild this. And so he had this deep desire, this deep mourning in him. Then we see it again in Nehemiah verse 4 and 5 from chapter 4 today. Oh, sorry, from chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to the to be plundered in a land where they are captives." He's talking about Tobiah and Sanballat, these guys, and how they're taunting them. "Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." Nehemiah was a man of prayer, and he prayed passionately and fervently for his people. His zealous intercession for God's people foreshadows our great intercessor in Jesus Christ, okay? Who prayed fervently for his people, who prayed fervently for us in his high priestly prayer in John 17. Jesus' high priestly prayer is the longest of any of his prayers that's recorded in Scripture. It's rich in theological insights, like the relationship between the Father and the Son, the nature of salvation, Jesus' mission here on earth, his relationship with people, and so much more. And so I would encourage you, if you wanted to take some time to read through John 17, you will hear and see the heart of Jesus for his people, for us. So both Nehemiah and Jesus had a burning love for God's people, which they poured out in prayer to God. And so a question for us is this: do we have a burning desire for God's people, which we pour out in prayer to God? This is the challenge for us. If we have no desire for God's people, then we will have no desire to pray for God's people, right? When we see ourselves in this community here in Logan that God has called us in to be his representatives, to be the salt and light, to be these change agents in our community right here, then this should naturally draw us to a relational prayer life, because we know that we can't do this ourselves. We can't change the hearts or minds of people. Only God can. And so we need God in this. The source for Nehemiah was God. The source for Jesus was God. The source for us is God. Last weekend, I arrived back from the Philippines. Yes. I'm studying a master's program through our Every Nation Seminary over there. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. This is a photo of our cohort for 2022. Really, really awesome. This is leaders, pastors, campus ministers, cross-cultural ministers, right, around the world, from around the world, that I'm going to be journeying with for the next 3 years. Basically, this is going to help me better serve our people here, our community. And so the next 3 years is all about building, equipping, learning, stretching, and getting to know God in a deeper way. You know, I was really blessed when a couple of the bros here, Kopa and Steve, before they actually took me to the airport before when I flew over to the Philippines. And when they dropped me off, these brothers got out of the car, came around to me, and just laid hands on me and started praying for me. I didn't ask for it. There was nothing wrong. But they just wanted to activate their relational prayer life. On my way back, these two brothers picked me up from my accommodation to drop me off at the airport. On the right there, or on the left there, your left, that's Pastor Joash, and that's Ricky. And those guys are part of our Green Hills, Philippines location. And those brothers, they drop me off at the airport. I get out of the car, they get out of the car, get my bags out, and then they just come around me and lay hands on me and start praying for me right there on the sidewalk. I didn't ask them to. Nothing was wrong. But they just wanted to activate their relational prayer life. How about us? We too can be active in our relational prayer life. And not necessarily have to wait until something goes wrong before we'll drop to our knees and start to pray. Let's look for opportunities to pray. Let's look for opportunities to pray for our communities. There's so many schools in this neighborhood. There's the council, right? Our council needs prayer, right? The teachers, principals, doctors, nurses, ambulance, police, you know, the people that we're reaching out to, all of them need prayer. We don't have to ask them for permission. We just need to pray for them. Start praying for them. They don't need to know that we're praying for them. Just start praying for them. Pray for God's blessing on them. Pray for God's protection on them. Pray for God's, leading upon them. We don't need anyone's permission. We have the permission from God. Just pray for them, right? Because the more we engage and activate our relational prayer life, the less chance the enemy has to fill our minds with doubt, with fear, with anxiety, those things that will stop us or draw us away from God, taking the focus off of ourselves. Now, the second part of how God builds community in our hearts is through relational prayer persistently. Everybody say persistently. So this is the posture that we need to have, persistence. In verse 6, it says this, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. I like the Message translation, and it says this, we kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. We kept at it. That's persistence. When we have a mind for the work, when we have a mind to work together, we will keep at it. We will be consistent. We will be relentless. We will keep building relationally with people, right? Who finds it hard to build relationally with people? Is it hard? Is it hard work? Yeah. Free people think it's hard. It's really easy for the others. It's hard work to build with people. Because you got to build that trust, right? You got to build that trust where they start to open up about real life stuff. Not that surface stuff. Not that Queensland, New South Wales stuff. Nah, not the NBA stuff. Nah, we got to go deeper than that. How is God really working in your life? And that takes time. That takes a lot of time, a lot of patience, a lot of resources, a lot of time, a lot of energy, right? But we got to keep at it. We got to keep at it. So the question for us is this, though. Do we persist? Do we persist? Do we keep at it? Do we keep getting up when we fall down? Do we keep fighting for fellowship? Do we keep coming to church? Do we keep coming to Life Group? Do we keep meeting up with people that we know are good for us? Or do we keep meeting up with the wrong people that we know that are not good for us? Do we keep fighting for fellowship? Do we keep building relationally with people? Are we persistent in what God has called us to build? Or are we like some people that, you know, when they come up against an obstacle, oh, I tried it. Oh, it doesn't work. Oh, okay, see you later. We give up too easy. We say, oh, it doesn't work. When we persist, things will start to come together. And all the wall was joined together to half its height. Things will start to take shape and form when we keep at it. Things will start to connect and join together when we keep at it. Doors will begin to open when we keep at it. Relationships will begin to be strengthened and formed when we keep at it. People will come to salvation when we keep at it. Persistence will bring progress, but we have to persevere. We have to be persistent. We have to keep doing what God has called us to do. In verse 7, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, wow, they got a whole clan, a whole tribe there, heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. You know, I think we're going to come against some people who are going to want to fight us, right? And I know as a Samoan, if someone want to fight me, you want to fight me? Sure, let's fight. Let's fight. I want to fight you too, you know? But that is not the way, okay? That was the old me. That's the old me. Okay, we need to respond like Nehemiah. Nehemiah in verse 9, and we prayed to our God. People want to fight you. Oh, I'm going to go and pray about this, God. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. The key word for us is in verse 8, and that word, confusion. Confusion. This is a strategy of the enemy. Confusion. To create confusion among the people of God, right? A confused people will never move forward and fulfill all that God has for them. We can get confused because we get distracted by the tricks and the threats that the enemy has got our mind focused on instead of remembering and reminding ourselves of what God has already said and his promises. We get so set on, oh my gosh, you said that about my daddy? You know? And we said, no, we need to focus on what God said. What has God said? Remind ourselves. When we are in relational prayer persistently, confusion becomes a non-factor. Because when we are focused on our active relational prayer life with Christ persistently, we won't get easily tricked by the enemy. We know who we are. Whatever the enemy may say, oh, that's a lie. Oh, you're so ugly. That's a lie. You're made in the image of God. God doesn't make rubbish. You are wonderfully, uniquely made in the image of God. We need to remind ourselves of these truths. One of my highlights for me when I was over in the Philippines was our chapel time. And our chapel time would happen twice a day, Monday to Friday, 8:30 and 1:15 after lunch. You needed that after the lunches over there, man. It was really good. But for me, you know, I would try and arrive at like 8 o'clock in the chapel in the morning. So that I could just sit there and quiet my soul. They would have this passage up from Habakkuk 2:20, which said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. It was like the sweetest place to be in. Sitting there in silence and just waiting on God. I would do this practice that one of our professors taught us while we were over there. And he said, you know, whenever you feel stressed or anything like that, here's a way to refocus on God. Breathe in the presence of God. And then when you exhale, breathe out the worries and anxieties that you're feeling right there and then. Breathe in the presence of God and breathe out the worries and anxieties that you're going through. During our chapel time, we'd also make time to pray for the nations. It was so encouraging and uplifting, praying for our spiritual family with all these leaders from around the world, praying for the nation, even praying for us here in Australia. So there's brothers and sisters from around the world standing behind us as well. That for me was forming me spiritually, building an active relational prayer life persistently. How are you building a relational prayer life persistently? How are you building a relational prayer life persistently? Now, the third and final part of how God builds a community in our hearts is this. God does it through relational prayer persistently in partnership. Amen? In partnership. This is connecting to and knowing who is part of your team. Who's with you? Who's got your back? Who's got your front? Who's got your right? Who's got your left? Partnership speaks to the idea of community. Community comes from the sense of responsibility that we should have for each other. In the Bible, God encourages us to take care of our brothers and sisters, whether they are family, friends, enemies, or people we just haven't met yet. But we're encouraged to take care of them, help them. Let me give you a couple of passages. Galatians 6 verse 2 says this, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, when we look at that passage, we may think, oh, so this is the focus here. The focus here is expecting others to bear my burdens, right? No, that's self-centeredness, bro. God wants to lead us towards others-focused. You know, that's always God's plan. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's not just about Henry. It's about others around Henry. It's about using Henry to reach others around Henry. Bear one another's burdens. The people around you. It's a pretty simple command, right? Obey, to obey. Find a brother, find a sister, whoever they may be, that has a burden, and help them. Let me give you an example. Let's say there's a family that's going through a life-changing situation that alters their whole family unit and in the way that it functions, right? You know, it could be related to health, finance, a change in circumstances, whatever it is, but it hits the family so hard that you know, roles have to change within the family. So what could be our response in that situation? Well, we could provide some groceries or a cooked meal for them. That's helping them to carry the burden. Yes, that's a simple way to start. That's a great way to start. Now, I'm sure you know instances and testimonies of life groups coming around families that are going through stuff, that are walking through stuff, And these families come and they support, and they're able to, you know, help, provide lunch, provide meals, provide, you know, encouragement, provide prayer. When we do that, that's fulfilling the law of Christ. So we continue to do that, family. We continue to do that. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, it says, "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone." Anybody know any lazy people? Yeah? No? No? Don't look at them. Don't look at them. But we need to encourage those people. Hey, hey, wakey, wakey. We need to get moving. We need to encourage people that are timid. We need to encourage people that need encouragement, right? There's going to be people around us that just need a word of prayer to say, hey, look, you know, I'm here for you. Can I pray for you? Is there something that I could do for you right now? There are people all around us that we can take care of that need tender care. There are people around us that need us to be patient with them. To be patient with them. This is something that God's working in me. Patience. I know I don't look like the impatient guy, but don't talk to my wife about it. But yeah, I am a bit impatient at times. Anyone here? Anyone else? No, don't raise your hand. But being patient with people, no matter how slow they may go, if God's called you to walk with them, if God's called you to be there with them, to walk through whatever it is in life, you better have a slow pace with them. Walk alongside them, encourage them, pray for them, sit with them, cry with them if you need to. But they may be the exact people that God is calling you to walk with in this season. As we come to our time of discussion and prayer, you know, I want to encourage us all, our community. Logan does not need another church. Logan does not need another program or another event. Logan needs Jesus. We need Jesus in this. You know, I love what Pastor Nelly said last week. I think it was last week. He said, God's calling is more about where and who rather than a what. It's more about where and who rather than a what. It's more about where. Where do we need to go in our community? Who do we need to reach in our community? Who are the people that we need to be building with, that we just need to get around and just be this non-anxious presence, this representative of Christ in their life right now? Where do I need to go? Who do I need to be around? You know, sometimes I think we can try and sort of think it through. Okay, what am I going to do? What innovative, creative idea am I going to do to reach these people? And we spend years and days and weeks and years trying to figure it out before we even move anywhere. But as long as we know where we need to go and who we're reaching to, then just go. Just take a step towards them. Just keep walking towards them. Where and who? Rather than a what. And so if we as followers of Jesus Christ are walking out God's calling and reflecting more of the character and qualities of Christ through an active life of relational prayer, persistently in partnership, then we will be building our community. We will be building our community. It will be built out of that place that we are experiencing firsthand in our own personal relationship with Christ. And that's how we will build. That's how we will build. When we get to experience the love of God in our own personal life, when we get to experience the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God in our own personal life, when we're on that journey already, then that's the time to go. You don't have to wait till you're, I have to wait till I'm 21 years old and then, you know, I get my key and then I can go. No. As soon as you have had that experience with God, just go, take a step. Move. Move towards someone. Move towards someone. Build a relationship with someone. That's how we will build relationally. Now, I don't know where everyone is at in this place, you know, where your personal relationship is at. But I want to give us an opportunity. Reflecting on where you are at. You as an individual. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about your children. Don't worry about your husband or your wife. Just you. Focus on you. And I want you to think about, how is my relationship with God? How is my personal relationship with God? And I get it. I get it. We can go through seasons where it doesn't feel like God's with me. It can feel like I'm just on my own and stuff's not making sense and I'm not hearing God in my life. I get that. But I want to give you this moment to realign. I want to give you a moment to come back into center with God. Don't worry about how far you've gone off. But just know that there's always an opportunity with God to come back in center with Him. There's always an opportunity to come back to God. And so I want to give us all an opportunity today. Wherever you're at, I want to give you like 1 minute just to close your eyes. And I want you to think about, what is it that God is speaking to you right now? Where are you in your personal relationship with God? Because in order to reach our community, we need to first have a personal relationship with Christ. And so I want to give you the next couple of minutes just to be silent and to just close your eyes and just hear from God before we go into a time of discussion. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together as your sons and daughters to hear from you, our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you invite us to be in relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word that is life to our soul. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in the hearts and lives of every person here. Father, you know where we are. You know each and every one of us. You know us down to the most intimate of details, Father. And so right now, Lord God, I pray with my brothers and sisters here that we would get a fresh revelation of our personal relationship with you. That this isn't just going to be another sermon that goes through at one ear and out the other, but that we have been shaken, that we have been stirred by your word tonight to be seen as ones who have been called to be builders in this community. And so, Father, I thank you for every person, every family that is represented here tonight. And I pray, Lord God, that you would meet each and every one of us right where we are. Doesn't matter if we've been away from you or we've never been with you before, Lord God. Maybe today is the very first time that we want to join in relationship with you, Lord God. Father, we are thankful for those that are making that decision tonight. But Lord, I thank you that you are a gracious, merciful Father that is always, always looking forward to welcome your sons and daughters home. So today, Father, as we move into our time of discussion, Lord God, continue to minister to our hearts and our minds tonight. And we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's our discussion question. I want you to get around maybe one or two or three people, three max. And I want you to talk about this. How can you build a relational prayer life persistently in partnership? Break that down. What does it look like for you as an individual? How can you be in relational prayer? You know, who are the people that you need to get around? Who are the people that you need to partner with, that you need to recognize their partners in? And how can you do this persistently? What is that going to look like? So I encourage you to take, we'll give you about 4 minutes, 4 minutes to have a discussion. And then I want to encourage you to spend some time in prayer. Okay, I'll give you a warning in the last minute to pray for each other. Okay, is that cool? Okay, we'll see you in a bit.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.